From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch, where we bring you insights, analysis, and interviews on some of the most important issues facing you and your family. And it all comes to you from a biblical worldview. So for the next hour, we're going to navigate the conflicts, and there are lots of them, and the complexities of our nation's capital with clarity, integrity, and a relentless pursuit of truth. Washington Watch starts now.
What we're going to allow is an amendment process. If four separate bills, it will be in one rule to be put on the floor, and everybody will be able to vote their own conscience in their own district. They can vote up or down on the Israel aid, the Ukraine aid, the Indo-Pacific, and then this separate package that we have with other national security measures.
That was House Speaker Mike Johnson last night laying out how the House will move forward on the aid bills to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Now, the House is presently scheduled to vote on the measures on Saturday. We're going to talk with Florida Congressman Mike Waltz in just a moment. On the Senate side, Chuck Schumer, the scare leader in the Senate, appears to be in a parallel universe.
I am very glad the Senate worked its will to set these charges aside. The prudence and cool judgment the Senate showed yesterday is what the framers would have wanted.
The strong-arming of the process by the majority leader is not what the American people wanted. We're going to hear from Kansas Senator Roger Marshall on yesterday's impeachment process. I'm not going to say hearing because there was none. And I was a part of a press conference earlier today on Capitol Hill regarding the World Health Organization and their global power grab.
We call upon you, this is a letter to President Biden, one, to withdraw your administration's support for the current IHR amendments and pandemic treaty negotiations. Two, shift your administration's focus to comprehensive WHO reforms and address its persistent failures without expanding its authority. And three, should you ignore these calls, submit any pandemic-related agreement to the Senate for its advice and consent.
That was Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson speaking at this morning's event. We're going to talk to Senator Johnson, as well as we're going to be joined by South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman, who was the main organizer of today's press conference. Yesterday, we discussed the United Nations Security Council holding a vote to admit the state of Palestine as a member. Now, that vote was scheduled to take place on Friday afternoon, but it was moved up to today, and it's happening right now.
6 months after October 7th, the most brutal massacre of Jews since the Holocaust, this council seeks to reward the supporters and perpetrators of these atrocities with statehood.
That was Israel's permanent representative to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan. We'll have an update as that vote takes place, hopefully within the hour. Finally, the Chinese Communist Party is working on Capitol Hill, trying to stop legislation dealing with TikTok. Why? We'll talk with Peter Schweitzer, president of the Government Accountability Institute, later on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, all the program is archived there. If you miss any, you want to go back and hear it a second time, it's right there, along with other resources. Yesterday, House Speaker Mike Johnson released the details of a comprehensive national security package focused on Republican priorities, titled the 21st Century Peace Through Strength Act. Now, this legislation will accompany the foreign aid bills for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan that the House is expected to vote on Saturday. Now, will these provisions be the way to finally get crucial aid to Israel? And given the divide among Republicans for providing additional support to Ukraine, can the Republican conference in the House move forward and avoid further fracturing? Joining me now to discuss this, Congressman Mike Waltz. He serves on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Florida. Congressman Waltz, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Always good to be with you.
So, Congressman, is this the way forward? Four separate a la carte votes for each of these bills? There's a lot of division within the Republican conference. Is this a way to get it over the top?
Well, just a couple of things, Tony, in terms of framing your question and the whole conversation. Number one, we told the administration and President Biden since day one that these were incredibly different issues with all kinds of complexities, and they all deserved a separate vote. But he bundled them all together in one big kind of legislative mess, frankly. Two, House Republicans have passed aid to Israel, and we passed it with a pay for, and it's been sitting. We did it within a month of October 7th, and it's been sitting with Chuck Schumer now for 6 months. And if he cared about Israel half as much as he claimed, he would have moved that package. And really what he's disguising is the massive divisions amongst Democrats about what should be a no-brainer, and that's aid to our greatest ally in the Middle East, Israel, in the midst of the pure evil that they suffered on October 7th. But look, we are where we are, and I do think they all deserve a separate vote. I do think that we need to support our allies, absolutely. However, we also have to secure our border. And we have to provide for America first. It's not an either or, but I do, Tony, think it's a matter of priorities. That's a key part of what we're debating right now, which we've also passed nearly a year ago, which was H.R. 2 to actually secure our border. And then finally on Ukraine, Tony, this has been the thing that's so frustrating to me. If we would simply drive the price of oil and gas below $50 a barrel, Russia could no longer fund their war machine, and you get a two for one. Tehran could no longer fund their war machine. We just had a hearing today on Biden's ban on the export of a clean American LNG, liquefied natural gas. We should be flooding the world with clean American oil and gas. Not only do you bring down the price at our gas pump, you dry up our enemies' war machines and avoid having to spend billions and billions to support our allies.
So Congressman, it sounds as if the Republicans get the short end of the stick every time that this, and I know we have the Democratic White House, we have the Democrats controlling the Senate. We want to support our allies, but we're not making the bigger policy decisions. We're basically having to pay the price for decisions being made by the Biden administration. Is that accurate? I mean,
that's not we in terms of Republicans. That's we in terms of the American people and we in terms of the world, frankly. Since the withdrawal from Afghanistan, it has just been bad decision after bad decision. Our military is getting worn out. Tony, in the Middle East, we're getting bogged down once again. Every time you hear about one of those ships getting extended, that's an additional 3 months back in repairs, and it's not available to face our greatest adversary, China. China's getting cheap right. Iranian oil, and Russia is selling more oil and gas than it ever did. So it's bad energy policy, not burden sharing with our Europeans and demanding more of them, of our allies. It is just simply sign another blank check, don't ask questions, and tell the American people to dig deeper in their pockets rather than the Europeans are drying up the cash with our adversaries.
So what is the way forward?
Well, I think the way forward is for us to get some of those key policies in. Like, I mean, you know, Washington just likes to talk about money, more money, more money, more money. How about we fix the policy problems and you solve the money problems? So lift the LNG ban, demand the Europeans do the minimum of 2% of their GDP, particularly the big economies like Germany, Italy, France and Spain. Let's talk about our own border. And I think the American people are much more open to then defending other borders.
Right.
So those are the things that we have to have in there, I think, to get a majority of Republicans on board.
So how do we get those in there? I think there will be amendments, but they have to be germane. Can any of those things be amended into this bill, these bills?
Well, this is my frustration with some of my colleagues. If you just continue to shoot down rules, and that's the procedural motion to actually get a vote, then at the end of the day, either Speaker Johnson has to work with Democrats and they're going to strip all of these kind of things out, like, for example, defunding UNRWA that is, you know, essentially siding with Hamas in Gaza, or then, you know, at the end of the day, I think you're going to see some Republicans side with Democrats to move what we call a discharge position, which goes around the whole process. And basically, you get the big blank check for Biden. I think we've got to learn to take 70-80% wins rather than 100% or nothing.
Do you think we might get there by Saturday night?
From your lips to God's ears, Tony, and for everybody watching and listening, truly, I mean this. We need your prayers right yeah. now. This truly is a fight against authoritarianism and evil, but we have to do it the right way, and we have to correct bad policy out of this White House rather than just signing more taxpayer checks.
Right. And I appreciate your view. That's why I have you on the program, because I know you're serious about this. You understand the geopolitical situation. But we do in this process where the House has just one slice of governance and a very small one at that at present, we do have to take what gains we can get. But we do. I think people want to see see their representatives fighting for these issues. But I think their expectations need to be tempered as to what we can actually accomplish.
That's fair. I just get incredibly frustrated, as I just told some of my very pro-Israel friends, and as I am as well. Let's hang up the phone and you guys call Chuck Schumer. This just kind of, we just accept what they won't do. And it's all about what House Republicans will right. or won't do. Let's talk about what the Senate's been sitting on and not doing now for many, many months. That's not playing a blame game.
No,
but that is the nature of our government, and we've got to hold firm, too.
Right. And the media doesn't report that, the fact that the Senate has been sitting on two bills that would have funded Israel. In fact, Mike Johnson, one of his first measures was to fund Israel. Very quickly, Congressman, I want to switch topics. You serve on the Intel Committee and have reviewed many of the classified documents that President Biden stashed in his Delaware garage. You've called for an assessment of potential damage done to the U.S. because of those documents.
Yeah, so there's this narrative the media loves to push. Well, these were from his days as the Senate and vice president, so they were many years, decades old. These documents were incredibly relevant to what's going on in the world today, and I was shocked, Tony, at the level of classification. I've been in special operations in the national security community for over 30 years. Some of the code words I didn't even know. They were that compartmented and classified. So I want to know from the intelligence community what damage has been done with the people walking in and out of the Biden, the Penn Center, University of Penn, funded by the Chinese, by the way, and who knows who Hunter Biden had in and out of the garage and the house and everywhere else, because if it got out, it was incredibly damaging. And then secondarily, always worth reminding, President Trump protected by the Presidential Records Act. And we have 80 instances of debates from former presidents, senators, and whomever that said, no, this is mine and not the government's. That is different. As vice president, he was not protected, and he should be prosecuted. And you can't be too old to be prosecuted, but young enough to be president another 5 years. You can't have it both ways. But I got to tell you, highly relevant to what's going on today in the world, and highly, highly classified.
Wow, troubling. And once again, a reminder of the double standard we're seeing playing out in our system. Congressman Mike Waltz, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, stick around. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of the break.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, earlier today, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas appeared before the Senate Homeland Security Committee seeking additional $4.7 billion from taxpayers for his department's budget next year. Not quite sure what he has done with what he has since the border is wide open. Now, this comes, you know, just a day after Senate Democrats hastily dismissed articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, refusing to even entertain the evidence. And this comes despite credible charges against the secretary for failing to enforce immigration laws, lying to Congress, and obstructing oversight into his department. Now, given the disaster at the southern border that has allowed more than 7 million illegal immigrants into the country under the Biden administration, what can we draw from the Democrats' abandonment of a proper Senate trial? A precedent has been set. Joining me now by phone to discuss this and more, Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas. He serves on four committees, including the Homeland Security Committee and the Government Affairs Committee. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, Tony, it's great to be back with you. And I think you're just describing the situation perfectly. Yesterday, we saw Democrat senators light the Constitution on fire. The Constitution clearly states that when articles of impeachment are received by the Senate.
I think we may have lost you, Senator. We're going to try to reconnect with him. He's just stepped off the Senate floor. The Senate working on a number of issues actually related to FISA. The concern here is that this sets a precedent. First time ever that the Senate didn't even entertain the evidence of the charges brought over the articles. I think we have him back now. Senator Marshall, you back?
Buddy, I am. I hope you can hear me this time.
Yeah, let's try it again. So pick up where you left off.
Yeah. So yesterday afternoon, we saw the Senate Democrats light the Constitution on fire. that the Constitution clearly states that the Senate receives articles of impeachment, there shall be a trial. There was no trial. And to your point, this sets a precedent for history. You know, the history would then say that going forward, if you want to, you can just basically table any impeachment you want to. So if you're in the same party as the sitting president, impeachment orders come over, you can ignore them. And the concern is this concept of checks and balances. Think about high school government classes when they said one of the powers that Congress held over the executive branch is this power of impeachment.
Right.
So that's been changed forever.
I'm going to get you to respond to a clip from the Senate scare leader Chuck Schumer earlier today, commenting on yesterday's procedure. Clip one.
I am very glad the Senate worked its will to set these charges aside. The prudence and cool judgment the Senate showed yesterday is what the framers would have wanted.
Your response, Senator Marshall.
Spin master, I can tell you that. Look, what was Bill Clinton's impeachment about? It was lying to Congress. So Chuck Schumer is saying that, I think everyone understands that Secretary Mayorkas has lied to Congress. So he's saying, well, we've decided that wasn't serious enough, so we're not going to have a trial. And I just think that everyone realizes that if you voted with Chuck Schumer yesterday, if you voted to table this impeachment trial, that's a vote to keep our border open. But this issue is so toxic to Democrats, they're going to do everything they can to make sure that this isn't the story. And they've accomplished that. Minimal coverage of the story today. You know, they moved on to FISA. And, of course, the left-leaning media, all they're talking about is jury selection. So
right.
He's wrong, but he can lie right through his teeth.
Well, speaking of that, today he was back before the Senate Homeland Security Committee. He made you began to ask some questions, and he made a rather startling admission regarding his department's gotaway technology.
Now, it is that simple. I asked him several questions that you would have thought a DHS secretary would know, like how many gotaways have there been? How many people have been paroled? How many people in America have died from fentanyl poisoning? And really, he didn't know the answers to anything. But this gotaway technology is, I think, is not foolproof. They would have you to believe that they're counting every person that's getting across the border. They may not be able to get thumbprints on all of them, but they would believe you, lead you to believe that they're keeping track of them. And my theory is that a lot of times this technology is not working. They've way underestimated the 2 million known gotaways that they're willing to admit to. I'm just really concerned instead of 11 million people that have come into this country illegally, maybe it's 14, maybe it's 15 million. We have no idea. But what the big concern is, he has no idea and doesn't care. He doesn't want to know.
Shocking. Senator Roger Marshall, always great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet, Tony. Always good to talk to you. Thanks.
All right. Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas. I want to very quickly go to our news desk with Victoria Marshall with an update on the U.N. And the effort to give statehood or welcome the Palestinian state into the United Nations. Victoria, I think there was just a vote. Give us the latest before we go to a break.
Yes. Well, the U.S. vetoed the resolution for Palestine to become a full member of the U.N., and that was expected, as the State Department said earlier, that the U.S. would veto. The U.S. holds the position that if there is going to be any kind of two-state solution between Palestine and Israel, that they have to decide that themselves through direct negotiations. So the vote was entirely expected for what happened today.
So that puts it to rest for now?
For now, yes.
All right. Victoria, thanks so much for that update. You know, I am grateful that we have seen both words and actions of support from the Biden administration since last Saturday's attack by Iran on Israel. However, I just want to emphasize that these things wouldn't be happening. They wouldn't even have moved this forward if there wasn't perceived weakness and separation between America and Israel. Now, hopefully, that can be solidified. And as Congressman Waltz was talking about earlier, asking for prayer, he's very serious. I was on Capitol Hill this morning. Actually spoke to the speaker today. This country needs prayer. There is a lot riding on what is happening here in our nation's capital. And it doesn't just affect us. Obviously, it does, but it affects many, many more. America's a world leader, whether we like it or not. And what we do affects the entire world. All right, speaking of the entire world, the World Health Organization, we're going to talk about that next. They're still pushing that power grab. Don't go away. We talk about it after this.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, to join us in the effort to pray for and stand with Israel, text Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. We can see this relentless effort coming at them. And so we need to, as the church, we need to pray for and stand with them. So join us on May the 19th in praying for and standing with Israel. Again, you can text the word Israel to 67742. You'll get a link to a website. It has lots of information there where you can actually take the pledge to pray. All right, as the World Health Organization continues its push to finalize a worldwide pandemic treaty that would strip nations of their sovereignty, we're rapidly approaching the day when the Biden administration plans to agree to these measures. Now, earlier today, congressional leaders and others spearheaded a press conference to highlight the many concerns surrounding the World Health Organization's efforts. And they announced the launch of an emergency campaign to prevent this betrayal of national sovereignty from moving forward. Joining me now to discuss this is the primary organizer, Congressman Ralph Norman, who was there this morning. He serves on the House Rules Committee, the Budget Committee, and the Committee on Financial Services. He represents the 5th Congressional District of South Carolina. Congressman Norman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Glad to be with you, Tony. Appreciate you coming today to the press conference.
Well, it was good to be there. I appreciate your leadership. This is a very important issue. People don't realize what is at stake here. So let's talk about your concerns and what this treaty, being called a protocol so they can circumvent Senate ratification, what it would do.
Tony, what they're trying to do is rush through a treaty that very few people know anything about. The fact that they're doing amendments that should have been submitted 4 months ago, that you're just doing it in secret. And it's like everything else the Biden administration does, it's in secret. And it's got long-term consequences for America, namely committing us to put 5% of our expenditures of money that we do not have into a fund that basically supports the China initiative of total dominance over the world. And it's primarily China and other countries, too. But as we saw during the COVID so-called crisis, it was a man-made crisis by China. And to further embolden them is something we have got to stop. But the bottom line, the meeting in Geneva of unelected bureaucrats comes up in May 27th, I think, where they'll start the discussion on America joining and taking the lead, both financially and being under the dominance of this world organization. And Bill Gates supports this effort as well as many others. And we just have to stop it and voice our opinion.
I mean, this is unprecedented in the power that they grab, but they will be able to impose on all member states this protocol, which, as you mentioned, not only forces member states to fund it, but it also restricts their abilities. If they declare emergency, and that's up to WHO, whatever it might be, then you have to follow this set of protocols, some of which include actually suppression of speech. This is pretty frightening when we look at what you made reference to, the COVID, what we went through in our own country with the Biden administration clamping down on social media posts. This would be the required response under this protocol.
Well, it's an overreach of government, and we saw during the COVID pandemic, they're shutting businesses down, shutting churches down. They didn't shut gambling halls down. They didn't shut Las Vegas down. They shut down basically what made this country great, which is the small businesses all across America that pay the taxes, that employ the many people we have. What's going on, Tony? It's evil. I don't know any other word to describe in America what's going on, and with the World Health Organization, to even think about this, to commit this country, we're working to, I'm telling everybody, call your senator. We're trying to make sure that this is a treaty and make sure that it goes through the Senate. It has to get a two-thirds vote, and they have to advise and consent on anything. Now, I don't have much confidence in the Senate, particularly with some of the things they've done recently. But be that as it may, we cannot let them, just by unanimous consent, put us in a treaty that we can't get out of and that the Senate doesn't have to review.
Was there anything during COVID that WHO actually did that was helpful?
No, they hurt. I mean, they wouldn't. They should have been on the front lines of finding out where this virus came from. The Wuhan lab was not. I mean, it was real, but this wasn't spread by a bat. This was biological warfare, and the government was a part of it, unfortunately. Tetris was the leader, and you ask anybody that has dealt with him, he's under the control of China. Now, is that who we want to submit to? Is right. that who we want our intellectual properties to go to? I don't think so.
All right. Wow. Congressman Ralph Norman, I want to thank you for joining us. Thanks for taking the lead on this. We're going to encourage people to call the Senate, their senators, and encourage them to speak out to make sure the Biden administration brings this to them for confirmation, or at least to give them the vote so they can vote against it. But right now, the Biden administration wants to circumvent the Senate. Congressman, great to see you. And again, thanks for leading the effort this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. So the action item, call your senator about WHO and this global power grab. That's 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121 is the Capitol switchboard number. You know, the Senate, certainly most of the Democrats would just soon the Biden administration do this and they don't have to touch it. Force them to pick up their responsibility and do what the Constitution requires. All right, we're going to be joined by Senator Ron Johnson on the other side of the break, so don't go away.
Chris-
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Lila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch again to stand with Israel, to pray for and stand with Israel, and join us on May the 19th. Text Israel to 67742. They need our support like never before. So text the word Israel to 67742 and take the pledge to pray for Israel. Our word for today comes from Joshua chapter 11. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." Well, as Joshua faced overwhelming odds, the Lord said, "Don't be afraid." Now, these words, "do not fear," appear very often in Scripture, and they almost always precede a powerful move of God. You see, in those situations when we need God to move, we must choose faith over fear. Faith and fear are incompatible. Faith propels us forward, while fear paralyzes and holds us back. Do not fear when you're following the Lord. To find out more about joining our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. Well, as we were talking about just in the last segment, we had a press conference on Capitol Hill today to talk about WHO. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin was there as well. He's been leading the effort in the Senate against this global power grab. He serves on Senate Budget Committee, the Senate Finance Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he joins us now. Senator Johnson, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, great to be on, and thank you for being part of that Sovereignty Coalition. It's extremely important. It's just not getting the kind of notice it needs based on the threat it represents.
So we talked about that with Ralph Norman in the previous segment, but just one question I have for you on that is, What is the best way to stop that? How do we keep this from occurring at this point?
Well, best thing is to expose it. But right now, there's nothing to expose. They're not telling us exactly what's in this agreement. Their own rules say that they shouldn't be voting on any amendments to this international health regulation unless all the parties have 4 months of notice, and they have the document there 4 months. It's less, probably about a month before they're scheduled to vote on these things. So, you know, without understanding what's in it, without being able to explain to the American public, you know, how this could affect our sovereignty, how it could affect their individual health autonomy, it's pretty hard to make the case. But I think just right there, the fact that it's all being hidden is reason enough to be very concerned.
Well, that sounds intentional, that they don't want the public to see what's in it. They don't want the scrutiny. Many of the meetings that they've had over the last year and a half that they've been working on this have been behind closed doors.
Well, we also have gotten word that it's just dysfunctional, that they can't come to agreement. Let's cross our fingers.
Oh, no, not the world, not the World Health Organization. They're not dysfunctional. I mean, weren't they the champions of protecting the world during COVID?
Well, it is kind of hard to rally up 190-some nations, I suppose. But, again, let's pray that that's the case as opposed to something really devious.
Well, you know, that's actually a very good point, Senator. But you say prayer, and I'm going to we take prayer very serious around here. That may be one of the ways to stop this thing is to pray that the confusion that has enveloped this process would just cause the whole thing to collapse until we can get an administration that is willing to stand for American sovereignty.
I guess pray for a Tower of Babel within the World Health Organization.
I don't think we're far away from it when you look at the way the place operates. Let me ask you this question, because speaking of the Tower of Babel, the United Nations Security Council just moments ago, and I want to give credit to the Biden administration, they vetoed this resolution that would have recognized the Palestinian state for full membership to the United Nations. That's good. But let me ask you this question. Isn't the Biden administration still committed to a two-state solution?
It would appear so. They continue to pressure Israel not to defend itself to the extent that Israel believes it needs to defend itself. So I'm concerned about that. Again, I don't know how long it would have taken to actually conclude this war had it not been for the Biden administration whatever they're doing behind the scenes to restrain Israel. And from my standpoint, the U.S.'s primary responsibility should be to support Israel, recognize how horrific that slaughter, that brutal slaughter was on October 7th. Understand that had that same proportion of Americans died in that kind of a terrorist attack, there would have been 50,000 Americans. You can imagine what America would be demanding of our government in terms of eliminating that threat. And so our goal or our responsibility to Israel is just support it.
Do you think that vacillation of support from the Biden administration may have contributed to Iran's attack on Israel last week?
It hasn't been helpful. You know, my guess is what Iran did is it had to retaliate for or thought it had to retaliate for what Israel, I guess, or not claiming responsibility, but I think everybody realizes, you know, taking out Iranian commanders in the consulate in Syria. What is bizarre about that is how pre-planned it all was and how Iran tipped everybody off. I mean, it's just bizarre. The only thing I can think of there is they just wanted to have the West waste, you know, highly expensive munitions, knocking down, you know, in excess of $300 or 300 pretty cheap munitions. Probably a big victory for Iran just from that standpoint.
Right. A final question for you. I actually want to play a clip of the who I call the Senate scare leader, Chuck Schumer, on the Senate floor earlier today, commenting on how well the process went yesterday with the impeachment of Mayorkas. Play clip number one.
I am very glad the Senate worked its will to set these charges aside. The prudence and cool judgment the Senate showed yesterday is what the framers would have wanted.
Your response, Senator Johnson?
No, Democrats ran and hid. They didn't want a trial because they want to sweep under the rug the horrific results, the consequences of their open border policy. And so that was a travesty that happened in the United States Senate. It set all kinds of bad precedents, including dismissing impeachments, calling it unconstitutional because the crime alleged was only a felony. Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, but I think a felony is worse than a misdemeanor. So, no, it was a bad day for the United States Senate. It was a bad day for our Constitution. Schumer's just galling to listen to him.
Yeah, I would agree, but I just like to play Eclipse. He's just people need to hear what is running the United States Senate. And there's only one remedy, as I see it. Well, it's actually three. Pray, vote, and stand. We need to pray for this country. We need to vote because ultimately that's what we're looking at. These are the consequences of elections. We need to be voting. Final word.
We need to win these elections.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Senator Ron Johnson, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to see you.
Stay well. God bless.
All right. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Pray, vote, stand. And by the way, speaking of that, pray and vote. We need to be praying. We need to be voting. And we need to be standing. And let's stand with Israel. Again, text the word Israel to 67742 to join us in that effort. All right, with the House of Representatives expected to consider and vote on a bundle of foreign aid and national security bills this Saturday, there's you got the three bills dealing with Israel, Ukraine, and the Indo-Pacific. There's also a fourth bill that has kind of about 15 different bills, and included in that is a bill dealing with the social media platform TikTok. And this is one of the – it's been pretty controversial on Capitol Hill. But in response, diplomats from the Chinese embassy have been secretly lobbying Capitol Hill staff from in both chambers of Congress in recent days, all while downplaying the national security concerns coming from the platform. Should we be surprised by this? I think – well – let me go to my expert here. Join me now to discuss this, Peter Schweitzer. He's the president of the Government Accountability Institute and the author of Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills American, and Red-Handed, How American Elites Get Rich Helping China Win. He joins us by phone. Peter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony. Thanks so much for having me.
So, any surprise that Chinese officials would be lobbying on behalf of TikTok?
No, there really isn't. And I think what people need to understand is that it's not just that TikTok, its parent company, ByteDance, is a Chinese company. It's a uniquely connected to the Chinese state company. The algorithm, for example, that drives TikTok and makes it so addictive and so capable of predicting what the audience wants to see, that's not only a company secret for ByteDance. The Chinese government has actually declared it a state secret. So this is not an ordinary company. This is a company, ByteDance, again, the parent company of TikTok, that does a lot of joint research with the Chinese Ministry of State Security. So the fact that the Chinese government is taking such a keen interest in the fate of this company is reflective of the fact that it is essentially an extension of the Chinese government itself.
So ByteDance, how beholden is this company to the Chinese Communist Party?
Completely. And look, there have been some people that are opposed to this bill banning TikTok or forcing the sale. I respect that opinion. I don't share it. But there, I think, has been a little bit of a misnomer. Some people have said, for example, that there are American and other non-Chinese investors in ByteDance. And there are some American investors. But what really is not being acknowledged is that the actual controlling shares, the people that vote to decide what ByteDance is going to do or not going to do, are all Chinese. And that, in fact, the American investors who have put money into ByteDance, their actual shareholders, According to Fortune magazine, they signed an agreement when they invested in the company that if they disparage or criticize the company publicly, their shares can actually be taken away from them without compensation. So this is a Chinese company, even though there are American investors, and it is beholden to the CCP. There's a 2017 law that was passed under President Xi that says all companies in China, if asked by the Ministry of State Security to perform certain functions, that can be sharing data, that can be spreading propaganda, et cetera, are obligated to do so under the full penalty of law. So there's just no question that ByteDance is already performing valuable services for the Chinese government, and Chinese officials have acknowledged that. I quote them actually in Blood Money describing on how they are helping the Chinese state already.
Okay, so we've established the connection there, that they're this close relationship. They're benefiting, the Chinese Communist Party benefiting from TikTok, ByteDance. What are they gaining from them? What is flowing to the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, flowing to the Chinese Communist Party is a massive amount of data. And that could be, you know, 15-year-olds, anybody that's using the app. There's a lot of detailed information they're obtaining. And look, somebody who's 15 years old right now might not worry about it. That 15-year-old might become an Air Force pilot, may becoming an FBI agent. China has that information and will have all sorts of information on them. But the second thing that's flowing from ByteDance to consumers in the United States is propaganda. And that's not me speculating here. That's actually Chinese officials that I quote in the book as describing what a powerful platform it is to spread CCP propaganda. And it's not simplistic propaganda. It's not, you know, placards of Chairman Mao marching through Tiananmen Square. It's highly sophisticated, and they describe in detail how TikTok is the ultimate Trojan horse for advancing CCP values in the West, and how they use emotion because this video, short-form video platform, creates, can elicit really intense emotions from young people, that it makes young people very susceptible to propaganda and that they use that manipulation to their advantage. So they get data and our young people get propaganda that is highly sophisticated and I would argue very effective.
But there's a long-term strategy here too. China is on the playing the long game. I mean, this is a, yeah, you know, a 100-year marathon, as it's been described. And
yeah.
So this is to desensitize and potentially set up the next generation to allow China as they seek to be the global leader.
Yes, exactly. In two ways. One is the pushing of what they call CCP values. But the second is what they call, again, it's not my term, what they call cognitive warfare. And that's their desire to, frankly, encourage the dumbing down of America, the limitation of intellectual capabilities of young people. So if you look at what TikTok does in the United States, you get a lot of sort of, you know, silly videos, a lot of people screaming into the camera, a lot of pranks. China does not have TikTok, but they have the equivalent version, which is also produced by ByteDance. It's called Douyin. Douyin is not silly videos. It's not people with blue hair screaming on camera. It's actually things like science, history, culture. So while our young people from this parent company, ByteDance, through TikTok, are getting cotton candy, Chinese young people, their equivalents, are getting spinach. And that is quite by design.
Yeah.
That, along with the propaganda, is part of this cognitive warfare, as they describe it.
Well, Peter, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I'm going to get you to come back on because we want to talk more about this. Peter Schweitzer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
And folks, thank you for joining us as well. And until next time, I leave you once again with the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, you've done everything you can do when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand. By all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action.
For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.